This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
Back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. We are live here inside the Emden Studios. And so it begins. The MGO Blog Roundtable. See, this is why you continue to have the roundtable.
I feel like if we had stopped the roundtable, this wouldn't have happened.
Maybe.
So this is our fault.
Maybe if you don't criticize the auto bench.
That's right. That's right.
I stand by that. It's Brian Cook's fault.
That's about as fired up as I've heard B-Live Beast. Like, what is that?
Have we told the full story on air?
We have not.
We should probably inform everyone what's going on.
I have Twitter. He could have DM'd me. Like, I can talk to him directly about that.
He listened to, he was like, find your house, dude.
It was like the one day John Beeline listened to the round. Maybe he listened to it more.
He listened to
but
it.
But he was on fire about the criticism of Auto Bench after the Michigan State loss. I can't remember which one it was.
It was the one where we were up.
East
Lansing.
And he called, and he was just, who is that guy?
His defense was like, Izzo does it too. And I'm like, well, Izzo was wrong to do that.
No, his
defense
was they were up 12.
Yeah, and then they were up less than that after the auto bench.
No. They were still up a half.
Yes, but they were up less than that during a period when Cassius Winston was on the bench. So you tell me.
You know, maybe later we'll get to this, but the most insane extended quote of the season came from Izzo, not in that game, but the next game. And so comparing yourself to Izzo is not so good. I mean, we can get into that later because we got probably other things to talk about. But I've been saving this one for a long time, a completely insane quote by Tom Izzo at the halftime of a Michigan game, I think in the Big Ten Championships. We could get back to that later.
Just remind me
because it's so insane and so comparing yourself to Izzo isn't a great comparison.
All right, so just before we get into the search and guys you like, that kind of thing, just your thoughts on the Beeline era.
I never wanted anyone else to coach Michigan. Like, I wanted them to put his head in a jar like they do on Futurama. And in 29-29, like, he's still the coach of Michigan.
Was there ever, I don't know, when the process went on, was the blog around when the search process to bring Beeline here?
It was.
So was he one of the guys?
He was the guy. Like, I was a very strenuous pro Beeline guy. And that was because I thought his floor at Michigan would be a guy who would make the tournament consistently and make the Sweet 16 every once in a while because his system was so weird. Mm-hmm. And he ended up being so much more than that. So, you know, I remember a few months ago, Quinn did an article about the UCLA game, like with Petey and Manny. And I went back and I watched the last 8 minutes of that game. And it's a totally different style
totally
of basketball.
Different. Totally.
There isn't a single ball screen. They're playing this 1-3-1. It's a completely different approach to the game. And for Beeline to be able to do that so successfully that he went from, you know, Canisius to Richmond to West Virginia to Michigan and then overhaul his entire approach and go to two title games and have the best stretch of basketball in Michigan history, that is elite.
Yeah, and you could predict from a X's and O's standpoint that he would be able to figure some things out. Maybe not a drastic shift in system. Maybe you couldn't have predicted that, but you could figure he would figure something out. There was no predictive sort of element recruiting-wise to what he became or what his program became here. Because, I mean, there's this narrative out there about what John Beeline did here that I think is false, that he's taken all these 2- and 3-star guys and he's won with guys no one else wanted. That is not true. It does a disservice to what a really good recruiting job. I mean, talent identification, sure. But, I mean, Michigan they recruited and landed perennially top 100 guys. Maybe they didn't get the one and dones. But and he got a few five stars in there. Glenn Robinson wound up being a five star. No, Zach Irvin was a five star when he recruited
I disagree with your narrative on this one. I almost always
Mitch McGarry was a five star.
Mitch McGarry is the only one. I mean, when they got a commitment from Glenn Robinson, he wasn't in the top 200.
But he wound up being
a
five star.
He wound up there. Right. That's correct because of talent evaluation.
Right.
They were incredible, and he was incredible at talent evaluation.
Well, there's
but when he that wasn't the case with Jalen when he got Jalen Wilson. He was a five-star. Mitch McGarry was
he's not
was
a five-star.
Like
he's around 45.
He was in like the Irvin range.
Jalen Wilson wound up there. He was a five-star at first.
Well,
he was a five-star
to begin
with.
The thing is like I you know, they didn't, you know, have Zach Novak his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
But they never had a consistent stream of the top 30 guys you would expect to go in the first round of the NBA draft. And there is no program in the country that has put more guys in the NBA except for the one-and-done factories during Beilein's term.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, some of these guys, literally nobody wanted. Like, Karras was going to Ohio. Trey Burke was going to
Penn State.
That would be before he opened it back up,
right? He was,
right.
I mean, Burke was around number 140.
Tim Hardaway was completely off the radar.
Outside of 150. I saw him play over at the Chrysler Center. He couldn't dribble the ball. Couldn't put the ball on the floor once without having it bounce off his feet.
And for Michigan to had this it was the end of the program, right? Eventually, Beilein was too good at developing guys for the NBA for his roster to stay the same from year to year, and he finally was like, "What's my choice here? I either got to start sucking a little more, which would have been fine, or I got to follow these guys." And
I think that was only a piece of it. I mean, I think that there is a quality of life piece. Let's be clear. John Beilein has been enamored with the idea of proving that he could do it at that level too. So there's that piece of it.
You know, what is the context of that? Like, what's proving it at Cleveland? It's getting in as the 8 seed and getting run in the first round.
And then he retires. I agree with you, but I remember him sitting here in studio last year, and I told this story on the air. He's like, "Yeah, I heard you on the radio talking about it's a train wreck." My wife called me saying, "You hear Sam calling Pistons a train wreck?" And he said, "Well, hey, they called Michigan a train wreck when I came here."
Right. Yeah.
And I came, and you know, for some people, that's a motivating factor. You want to build things. I like to do that.
Sure, and that's something that he can do. But also, you know, to do that, he's got to attract free agents to Cleveland.
Or he's got to develop guys. Man, have you guys looked at the Cleveland Cavaliers starting the guys who played the last game of the season there? Brandon Knight. Colin Sexton had a good rookie year.
Wait,
CeeDee Osman.
Yeah.
From the Turkish superstar.
That team sucks. But you're right, Ed. I mean, they're terrible, and they're not getting better next year. Not substantially.
Well, they got Kevin Love.
They got Kevin Love.
They got Kevin Love till he's 38.
And whoever the number five pick is.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hunter, probably.
And Jared
Culver. DeAndre Hunter is awesome.
He's not
love
that
DeAndre
awesome.
Hunter.
Well, but Billy Donovan walks into Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. This is not that.
Nope. This is not.
Nope.
You're absolutely right. But hey, he's 66. If it doesn't work, retire. I think that's
right.
That's the downside. It's like I really have nothing to lose.
The frustrating thing is like he did have something to lose, and that's legitimate shots at a championship in college. He has no legitimate shot at a championship in the NBA. He can prove it, and he can prove it by losing in the first round with, you know, Nick Stauskas. That would be an incredible accomplishment.
I mean, I tend to agree. His ceiling right now is the Pistons.
He went back to Richmond.
That's just not the way John Beilein looks at it, though, right?
Clearly not the way John Beilein looks at it.
Yeah, I understand our perspective, but, you know, you have this thing, and I pick up on things now that I didn't treat as seriously at the time as when he said them. So, for instance, you know, he has to replace three players at the end of the year. You're looking at the transfer wire. You're flying to Germany. You know, you're doing all these things. You got to wait to see if all the guys are going to stay in the draft versus come back. So you got to manage that. He said, "I'm working harder now. I'm working harder now in the off season than I worked at any time during the season." And you know, I work hard during the season. And now that I think about it, he was talking that plays into this. I mean, you're 66, you're coming off a heart surgery. You know, you're flying to Germany, you're flying all over the country, to, and I'm not crying in my river, but if you have the opportunity to forego all that, still coach, same time prove something to maybe just yourself in the NBA and get, you know, 5 minutes and have an off season where you can go up to the lake and chill with the wife and grandkids.
If he's and I want to chill at the lake period, then maybe that's time for him to go.
Look, I'm a lot older than Beeline. And,
and he chills at the lake all the time. No,
I chill in Hawaii.
The Pacific Ocean.
I work in Hawaii too, and it's doable. It depends on the person, but I'm not saying that a 66-year-old hasn't earned the right to chill. But you know what did Red do? Red even earlier than 66 became a CEO. And there's no reason why Beeline couldn't become a CEO. They could pump up Saadi and DeAndre's and Yaklich's salary and force them to do the work and let him be the closer or do whatever he wants or do. I mean, it could have been done. And if they lose a few more games, they lose a few more games, sort of like Red. He still ends up being iconic. They name the court after him. And, you know, he's forever a hero. And
I'm not downplaying that as a as a viable. I understand it. I get it. Certainly, if I were in his position, that would be the route I think I would have chosen. But as we now have found out, there are things that are more important to him than being more iconic than maybe he already is.
Yes.
Yeah, you could have had the court named after him. It's a Canisius.
Completely baffling decision to me. And
oh, come on, man.
What?
It's not baffling.
You know, you look at those pictures when they won the Big Ten tournament, and everybody looks so happy. And that's what makes it baffling to me. It's like he had something. And nobody in Cleveland is going to remember his name in 3 years. So
yeah, I fear that you're right on the money on this one. And to me, it's a little both disappointing and depressing. And also a great reason why you stay with the staff they have.
Well, it's also, to me, a great reminder. Look, man, this is, even in college, for the majority of coaches, it is a business, period. And at least in the revenue sports, it's a business. And if you didn't learn that from Greg Madison, maybe this will hammer it home, that you coaches come and go. That's not to say that not a great guy, not going to miss him. You know I'm going to miss John Beeline. But
if John Beeline is taking this job, then it's really a business.
It's a business. It's like, a business.
He's also going to, I think the dominant reason he's leaving is to go prove himself in the NBA.
I don't.
No?
I don't.
Well, what are they paying him in Cleveland?
Because if that was the dominant reason, because all the talk in coaching circles, I don't know how out there this is, that he could have had the Orlando Magic job. He could have been the Orlando Magic coach. So if that was
this year?
Last year. So if that was the dominant reason, he would have taken that. Even if you don't get the Pistons job, go coach Orlando.
Yeah, I mean,
but so he's getting paid that much at Cleveland? Like, I haven't seen the numbers.
He doesn't care about how much he gets paid.
What does it matter?
Right.
I mean,
but
at some
point, it matters. I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from.
That means that, you know, loyalty isn't
right. Loyalty isn't the top measure. It's not the most important. You know, it's not as important a component for them as it might be for us as the fans. I mean, for us, think about how we react to Michigan State, and then think about how coaches react to me. I mean, this buddy-buddy, chummy-chummy with Tom Izzo. I couldn't imagine doing that, right?
So, oh, you're always chummy-chummy with Izzo.
My point is...
But that's a character flaw. That's not a joke. That's not a joke. Like, this is a guy who's covered up multiple gang rapes. It's not a joke that it's a character flaw to be chummy with him.
No, I tend to agree with you. I think that's all... I think Beeline... Whether Beeline was chummy with Izzo is a... highly problematic. I think he's putting on sort of a public relations face on this. But I tend to agree with you, Brian, that, you know, why be chummy with that guy? Are you going to be chummy with, Charles Manson?
Well, I was going to say Dave Bliss, but that's, I mean...
Come on, Chris. Guys, I mean, guys. You know, I'm the furthest
all right,
thing in the world.
Maybe that's a little overstated.
I'm the furthest thing in the world from a Tom Izzo apologist, but I think that's a bit drastic.
No, Craig's right.
That's a bit drastic. Come on,
I
man.
I mean, it's always a little over the top, but
guys,
it's pretty much
guys,
right.
Relationships matter in life, and
Yeah, and the ones that you don't have are just important. It's just as important as the ones you do have.
All right, we need to get to a break. When we come back on the other side, we will talk about guys you like. You know, we talk about this process moving forward. Who you want to see elevated?
Not Billy Donovan. Bottom of my list.
Are you joking, right?
No.
Did we cut to break already?
We are going to break. You can pick this up. I can't believe already, it's Craig versus Ed and not Brian versus Ed. This is new.
Oh, wait. Just wait. Just wait about five minutes.
We'll get to that on the other side. We return here. Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket. And here we go. I set it up before the break. The sides have drawn their lines in the sand. Normally, it's Brian Cook taking shots at Ed Fang.
Ed Fang counterpunching. Normally, Brian Cook defending logic and reason.
Oh, brother.
Making judgments on small sample size.
Assault from the forces of crazy hot takes.
This is why we got to keep doing
this. Finding the best quarterback in the Big Ten.
I'm going to keep mentioning I'm going to guilt you guys into doing this year-round. Guilt you into it. A little vacation here and there. But
well, what would your Thursdays be
without this, man? All right. Pleasant. So, but it's Ed versus Craig for the first time, really.
No.
Yes, it is, because the last time he called me stupid over Charles Matthews.
He called you, and then he thought it was you.
I didn't.
Exactly. It's not the first time with me and Craig.
All right. So, the first time is the problem
because he gets in fights with everybody.
All right. So here we go. Ed and Craig, your points. I can't even remember what you were arguing about.
Billy Donovan is a no-brainer if he would come.
I agree. Billy Donovan is a no-brainer. He's like a cross between a vampire and a zombie.
And Rick Pitino and Porter Moser.
Yeah. On Stu Douglas's podcast, maybe a month or two ago, John Horford, who I liked, he's weird. He's a weird guy, but he's a very smart guy and a thoughtful guy. Played for Billy Donovan. John had some issues with John Beilein surrounding his transfer, but John still says he has great respect for Coach Beilein. He called Coach Donovan, quote, a freaking psychopath.
Except he didn't say free.
That's the quote, Craig? That's the exact quote.
Ira was ready with the dump button over there, by the way.
Yeah.
I saw him over there getting ready.
And then John, who's not a religious guy, does not believe in religions, was forced to go into counseling with a religious therapist or something like this while he was at Florida because he was suspended, according to John, for talking on the bench during a game.
Seems so far out of the pot, like nobody suspends someone for talking on the bench.
Well, according to Horford, who I trust, he was.
I mean, if there's five other stories like that, then...
Yeah, to me,
then,
that's like...
Otherwise, Billy Donovan's a no-brainer.
Yeah, he's a no-brainer. And also, you got two recruitments that are sort of sketchy, at least.
Oh. Can I tell you how much I do not care about that?
I know. You don't care about that. I do. I'm an old guy. I care about that. Follow the rules.
Yeah, it's been the most interesting debate on my timeline this week.
Clean versus dirty.
Dirty. Dirty is covering up rapes. Dirty is academic fraud.
I agree with you. That's worse.
The measure becomes, do you find fracturing the rules, if you can do so without getting caught, is that disqualifying?
We should probably cheat as much as the football program does, which is at least a little bit. I mean, they're not out there with $100,000 handshakes, but, you know, the kind of stuff that Beilein did where he was like, I'm going to follow the letter of the law when it comes to offering prospects. Like, nobody does that.
See, but that's not a rule. So, an example that you can only offer guys after
June 1st of their junior years, and Michigan did that every year. That's what they did.
That's a rule. I thought that was an agreed upon policy.
That's an NCAA rule.
I think they extend it
to hockey now because the small schools run everything there.
You can't extend verbal offers.
Yep. Can't do it.
I know Beilein followed that rule.
I have never heard that be a rule.
Why do you think Michigan always offered guys on June 1st?
What, you mean John Beilein? I mean, I know why he said. Yeah, he said there was this
policy through the ethics committee.
Through the ethics committee, that they agreed that this is when it should be done.
So he
adhered to that, but no one else did.
So, like, you know, Michigan's got to – anybody they find is going to be less of a rule stickler than John Beilein. So then it's just like – How much?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean,
like, and, where is your line?
And I'm going to agree with Brian, at least in some context, and that's that if no one follows it, follows a rule, then I'm not sure it's really a rule. Mm-hmm. You know, if no one follows a rule and there's no punishment for not following the rule, then...
The rule now, well, by
then,
the way, is...
Then you just pay everyone.
The rule now is no verbal offers or commitments until June 15th after sophomore year. That's the rule in place now.
Which is what Beeline does.
Which is what Beeline does. When did that...
That rule was instituted, updated, instituted earlier this year.
Okay. Earlier this year.
Sorry, last year. It was, that was updated for May 3rd, 2019.
They moved that up. It used to be a year later. Okay. Which is why, you know, you have Zach Irvin who commits as soon as he gets his offer and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I had never heard that be a hard, fast NCAA rule.
Yeah,
for written offers, I had heard that is definitely a rule, but
well, they
you
just
can't
say that
say,
in hockey, and the small schools are like, this will prevent verbal commits. And I'm like,
But yeah, you know, they definitely are changing things this year. That probably is one of the rule changes John Beeline.
I mean, but
likes.
I was the athletic director, I would announce tomorrow that every Michigan scholarship student athlete is getting $50,000 a year. What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Right. Like that. I mean, I'm kind of on one end of the spectrum here. But I, you know, if a guy like Billy Donovan says that, you know, I'm clean, I'm going to be clean, I'm going to believe him. So like, because something happened 15 years ago. Like, whatever.
No, I'm not. You know, so you're happy with if Billy Donovan comes here as head coach? Not me.
Like,
I guess Ed is. So you and Ed are on the same
page. You were also not thrilled that Harbaugh came because you wanted Tom Herman, too.
No, true.
There's this SI article from, 10 years ago or now where all the coaches are screaming about how Billy Donovan's cheating. And there's an 11-month investigation into him. And nothing comes up. And you know who was complaining about him? Roy Williams Kansas. So academic fraud coach at the cheatingest school in America is mad about Billy Donovan.
Is it cheatingest school?
Well,
Kansas?
Probably.
You certainly don't have the moral high ground to stand on if you're Roy
Williams. Right, and so
what, that is true.
What are these guys complaining about? Because Roy Williams has never been clean.
You know, the question is, do you are it'd be different if this was Carolina, you know, going through this and applying this kind of scrutiny. But Michigan likes to present itself, portray itself as on a higher moral and ethical plane.
Well,
and so, whether you think that is prudent or not is really the question. Do you want to continue?
No. Well, the question is, like, where is the plane now versus where it was 12 years ago? 12 years ago, I think that you could make some argument that amateurism was a defensible situation. Mm-hmm. Now you cannot. Not one day after the Big Ten declared that its revenue had gone up from $500 million to $700 million.
You're preaching to the choir, man. I've said this for years. Look, the amateurism as an ideal is one that I fundamentally disagree with and do not believe in.
So
I am right there with you on that.
If we're talking about what the university is going to do, I agree with you. Talking about what the university should do. Like, you know, we're going to see them vet Donovan and we're going to see how it comes back, I guess.
Well, look, I don't think anyone in this room believes the rules should not be changed. I mean, in terms of compensation for basketball, football players in particular. I mean, so that isn't the point. The question is, should Michigan just say, hey, no one's following the rules. We're not going to follow the rules either. And so I'm not in for that.
You know, Billy Donovan is a guy who can probably win without bending any rules.
And to be clear, that's the talk. So you talk about coaches complaining about Billy Donovan. The talk in coaching circles was back then was that he was really a cheater in a huge, huge way early in his tenure, and then as he got established, he didn't do it anymore.
He didn't need to anymore.
You know, it's like the cutoff point would be, and I'm not assigning it with this guy, I'm just saying from the time Anthony Grant was there, there's like a before and after Anthony Grant type of deal. And I'm not assigning it to Anthony Grant. It's just things seem to change.
Well, I mean, all I can say is 3 years from now, 4 years from now, Michigan fans will regret that Luke Yaklich or Saadi Washington isn't the head coach of Michigan. They'll regret it. And this whole noise about, we have to hire someone who's a head coach makes no sense.
No,
there's
it does.
Plenty of guys who have gone from assistant coach to head coach. Matt Painter, Tom Izzo, John Orr, Bill Frieder, Fisher. Those are all good coaches.
The counter argument is like, what type of risk are you willing to take, right?
You're taking
there's
risk
less risk
yeah,
no, you're with taking... an established person like a Billy Donovan. As
sure,
opposed to promoting
like
an assistant.
In the likely case that Donovan's off the table.
Fine. Right.
If
he
may be off if the Steve table. Prohm is off the table at Iowa State.
Is he off the table? Because I kind of like Steve Prohm. Well,
I like Steve Prohm, too.
Steve Prohm is an Alabama alum, and he passed on Alabama. And, you know, you'd think that if he was poachable, like, Alabama would be able to do it. Now, Michigan is a better job, no question. But the fact that he hasn't come up, I mean, they had to kick the tires, right? Please.
So, well, but that's exactly the question. Who are they calling right now? And, you know, if it's Porter Moser,
I think
the first call,
I think
I'm very
the first calls right now are going to the pipe dream.
Yeah.
Good. That's fine.
So I heard they were checking on Jay Wright,
dreams.
Which is like, all right, check on Jay Wright. But that's, you know, like,
that's not happening.
Well, but Michigan's a step up from Nova in terms of, like, conference.
But he's from Philadelphia. He's won two national championships.
You're in the Big East. You are going to win the Big East.
UCLA
three out of every 4 years.
Offered to double his salary and... That he said,
yeah,
no.
But he's at home, and he's a two-time national champ. And you look around, you see Jay Wright commercials. It's not, he doesn't need a bigger platform than the one he's on.
Yeah.
But you got everything there. If he makes a jump, he'll get the Sixers job, the job that looked terrible in the past. Now
it looks like a pretty good job.
It looks like a pretty good job. So
it's the second most.
Just to me, like, I understand kicking the tires, but there's an aspect. And this is not just unique to Michigan, but I just think most coaching searches where you start out and you have this pie in the sky.
You mentioned Brad Stevens.
There's a humbling fact. I understand. I said he's my pie in the sky guy.
Okay.
I don't think they have a chance.
No,
I don't
Brad
think he's
Stevens
coming.
Brad Stevens is not coming here. That's the 0%.
The names that we have heard are ridiculous
in
both directions. Like Porter Moser, which is so far behind, like giving an assistant the job.
I think you may be right. I think you may be right. The Porter Moser thing is all about Beilein. Porter Moser is Beilein light. Like I explained to someone,
he's Beilein who wins half his game.
Right. He is an ethical clone of John Beilein without the track record that John Beilein has. He had one day in the sun, the Final Four run that happened to come against Michigan, and you certainly have a high opinion of him based in part on that, but certainly on his ethical profile. But I agree, and I don't think that he's a front runner. I don't think he's just a guy that I know was on the radar last year, and a guy that certainly was on the radar again this year. But that doesn't make him a favorite, so. You know, I think there are guys they would go to before Porter Moser.
But once you get past like Steve Prohm, there's nobody left.
Well, you got Juwan Howard.
In terms of established head coaches, like if Nate Oates is sincere about how he's not going to leave Alabama, then
you can't even interview Nate. You can't interview Nate. I'm not saying that this is the right way to say it. Nate would not interview. If you're going to go after Nate Oates,
you have to give him the job.
You have to know, you're forget vetting me, all that. Get the vetting out of the place, out of the way. If you offer Nate the job, yeah, he'd come.
My opinion,
Nate would come. Sure.
I mean, what he did, 4 years at Buffalo, and these are not Hurley's players, right? Like, he's been there for 4 years, and he produced the top 20 team by the numbers this year.
And he ain't interviewing. I'm telling you what I know.
Well, I don't need him to interview.
Yeah, we don't need the interview.
He's making, I
looked it up. It's like $2.8 million.
You'd have to know that's who you want.
Okay, check.
Check.
Done.
And you call him. You can get him. You can get Nate.
There you go. Well, then it's done. Call aboard. Tell them we fixed it.
We just did it.
Can we just end the show right now? Call somebody.
I don't think it's happening. But once
you get past that, if the Nate Oates thing doesn't happen, then I don't see a single Division I head coach out there who I would prefer over either an internal hire or Juwan Howard.
Let's talk about Howard.
I tend to agree.
I mean, he's been an assistant in the NBA. He's supposedly on track to be an NBA head coach.
He's interviewing a bunch of places. Like, people who are connected to the league think it's going to happen sooner or later. He's the lead assistant under Eric Spoelstra, who's with the Heat and is one of the most respected X's and O's guys in the league.
Developed two good big men down in Miami.
You have to think
been under Pat Riley's wing too.
Yeah,
and you'd have to think that he would have significant recruiting juice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just hi, I'm Juwan Howard. Mm-hmm. Like that'll open.
He has a very engaging, nice personality. I talked to him one day in Amaker's office.
He's got a nephew who's a 5-star in this class who happens to play power forward.
Is that true? I didn't know that one.
He just committed, didn't he?
Well, we could work on that. We can work on Nate Oates. We can work on that.
Hey, look. You know, the thing about Nate not being on the table has to do with Nate's not going to be in any. Nate's not going to be on any board.
That's fine.
He's not going to be on any list.
No one wants him on a board.
To me, that says Nate Oates isn't stupid, and I like that in a coach.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he signed an extension at Buffalo 2 months before.
Look, I'm not. What did I just say?
All right.
Look, if you want Nate Oates,
you got to call him and say, "Do you want the job?"
You
got to
call him and say, "We're offering you the job."
I mean, the only outside of the no brainers, I think the only one I'd want over Nate Oates would be a Buzz Williams, but he's probably not coming since he just went home to Texas.
I like Buzz
A&M.
Williams.
He's not leaving Texas.
Yeah, I mean, also Texas A&M is clearly prepared to outbid anybody for anybody. So, like, he's not going to get a pay raise here. He might get a bump, but that's what that would be.
But he's getting what, $4 million down there? I think.
Yeah, Beeline had 3.8 this year, so it's...
Well, you know,
I'd pay Buzz Williams 5-6.
I mean, but that's not going to happen because then A&M would just pay him that.
He also was a Texas guy and specifically wanted to go back to Texas.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, I know. But besides Buzz, Nate Oates is probably the top of my list.
Beard's not going?
Beard's not going.
Beard, that's...
That's why he's even more of a
Texas
guy.
Anyone who mentions Beard is just not paying attention.
So I'm just... taking him off the table.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there's like, what are you looking at? Randy Bennett at St. Mary's? Like,
John Drecker.
Oh, I actually hadn't thought about Randy Bennett. I love that guy.
Well, Randy Bennett is built a success on an Australian pipeline.
Yeah.
Which
it's going to be harder in the Midwest.
And he's never recruited a top 100 American. And this is at a time when the Pac-12 is just a disaster zone. So the fact that he hasn't like gotten a guy by accident, like... after someone got fired.
Like he can't get a Kawhi Leonard like they did at San Diego State.
Right. Like that kind of seems like a red flag.
We got to get to a break. We'll be back on the other side. We will open up the phones for a second. 734-998-1050. Eric, we'll get to you first on the other side here. MGo Blog Roundtable on Sports Talk 1050. WTKA, the ticket. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider. Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. And there was no blood dripping from... the Whoa. Noses or
wait until the parking
no black
lot after
eyes.
Wait until the parking lot.
Normally,
after
I mean, we see. Sam. I mean, there's blood on the floor when Brian and Ed go at it.
What are you talking about?
Ed and Craig is just,
we're too far.
I mean,
apart.
It's like shadow boxing with you guys, man.
You guys are. I mean, we're just all like thinking about Nate Oates. Yeah. Break. That's what happened.
I mean, that silence in that show was pretty beautiful, right? When we're all like, all right. We all agree. Done.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
What are we doing?
734-998-1050. Let's talk to Eric in South Carolina. Eric, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
Nothing much.
Hey,
you know what? You guys are just got me over here just smiling ear to ear because I've been tooting the horn of Juwan Howard since B-Line said it was going to leave. I tell you what, hiring Juwan Howard would do so much for the program. The same heartbreaking stuff that people felt when John Beilein left. If Michigan would hire Juwan Howard from a recruiting stand up, when the Final Five was playing, most of these people that have kids that's old enough to be recruited now was Final Five fans, unless they Duke fans or went to Duke. But Juwan Howard can go into any living room and say he's Juwan Howard, and that's going to seal the doggone deal. And not only that, worst case scenario, because he's going to get a head coaching job somewhere. Why not Michigan? If worst case scenario, if he comes here and he's not successful as a coach, we're going to be loaded because he's going to get a bunch of kids to come here just based on him being Juwan Howard. Being Juwan Howard of the 5-5, and the 5-5 documentary introduced the 5-5 to a whole another generation that didn't get to watch him play. You think these young kids ain't gonna want to come play for Juwan Howard? man, I think is a slam dunk. From a PR standpoint, it brings the Michigan fans back together, to bring the Fire Five back together. Man, Sal, let's bring this part. Let's get this party started, man.
Well, hey, you know, I know this. You'll appreciate this. I mean, there is no bigger advocate than Chris Webber, and you know, there isn't. Not that this factors into the decision. But the impasse with the basketball program, because he came back, he did not visit basketball. He did not even visit Chrysler. I mean, he didn't set foot over there. That would be over.
Well, and the thing about Howard is he's not just a guy who is a famous basketball player and is just a recruiter. So he's going to be an NBA head coach if he doesn't go to Michigan at some point. And probably if he does go to Michigan, that's what the end of that tenure is going to be if he has success, which is fine because we know that going in. But he's been the lead assistant for Eric Spoelstra with the Heat for 6 years. And Spoelstra is one of the most respected X's and O guys in the league. He's been under Pat Riley forever. So, you know, these are guys who are accomplished basketball coaches and have set him up for a position where, you know, if he's a candidate for NBA jobs, he can be a candidate for the Michigan job.
So we're all happy with Juwan. I am.
The key with Juwan, again, that's why as we listen to the criteria that Craig said, one of the first things in one of the first second update that I made was this is not a disqualifier for Juwan Howard, the desire to have a guy with head coaching experience. He's the exception to that rule. Now, I'm not telling you that he's going to be the guy, but he is definitely under consideration for this job. He is not a guy. He's not looking at any other college option. He's going to be a pro coach some point.
So we all take Nate Oates or Juwan Howard, right?
Yeah, I'd take both of them. And yeah. I mean, Howard's a little bit trickier because you have to be like, all right, we need someone who's been on the ground in recruiting. We got to have some continuity with the staff.
Pay them.
You got to retain some of the current.
So pay.
You have to.
And you know the guy who's been who has the early indicators of being a truly elite defensive coach, in Luke Jakalich. I think you got to
outbid the Cavaliers.
Got to outbid the Cavaliers and maybe I don't know, give him some security long term. I don't know, but got to retain. And a lot of the recruits talk about Yak a lot. So you got Colin Castleton pretty much out of nowhere. Like both of the recruits this year have heavily mentioned him as a factor. You know, Zeb Jackson. There's a lot of guys who are connecting with him.
Yeah. Incidentally, if Yak isn't on the staff, you got 9 guys on scholarship next year, maybe.
Are you talking about with Jalen Wilson? Is his guy? You know, Zeb, I believe was I want to say that was Dre.
I mean, keeping Yak, it sounds like he's independent.
And for Zeb is 2020, so.
Yeah.
Right. Sounds like keeping Yak is independent of who becomes the head coach, right? Like
that's right, and I'm fine with Yak as head coach.
You got to keep some. I know, I didn't say, well, for the assistants to be the head guy, I'm skeptical of that happening. But whoever the coach is, whether it's Juwan Howard or whoever they hire, has to, in my opinion, retain, some piece or pieces of the current staff. This is not a situation where the program was losing.
Right.
You know, the coach got fired. I mean, it's a good situation. It's a good culture. Mm-hmm. You know, you need a bridge to the current guys that I think demands that you retain some of these guys. I think Beilein is very clearly pushing Saadi's candidacy, at least for an interview. I don't know that if that's going to happen, but I think it would behoove Michigan to talk to all 3 assistants about what's your outlook on things?
What's it going to take?
You know, what else are you looking at? Yeah. Because if you're these assistants, sure, you're doing your job, but you got to be looking at other things too, right? I mean, you got to look out for yourself. So look out, see what their prospects are. And see about, like you said, maybe you got to pay some more money to keep, you know, the guys you want in place. Be open to doing that. Be open to doing that. So we'll see. We'll see, man. It's going to be an interesting, I don't know, month?
Couple months?
No, God, no. Please, no.
I mean, they're still in the search firm vetting phase.
Yeah, I know, like, you know, they could end it tomorrow if they gave them the right phone call.
I have no indication that Nate Oates is a, and let me be clear, you know, for Nate's benefit, I have seen nor heard anything about Nate Oates being a candidate for this job.
Right.
So I don't want to do Nate a disservice by throwing his name out there and making life any more difficult than it was when the Michigan job came open and he has to deal with, like, man, I'm not even talking. I haven't talked to anyone at Michigan. You know, no one at Michigan has mentioned me.
He's still already tweeting about it, right?
I haven't heard of Michigan through the broadcast. He has to come out and say to Alabama folks who are going nuts,
right,
I am not looking around. I just got here. I want to be here. This is a good situation. Bama all the way. He can't afford to say anything else. So you can't throw Nate Oates out as a candidate. If you want Nate Oates, you got to call Nate Oates and say, this is your job.
And as we discussed, I think we're like, okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, and so we've just done Ward's job, which we've come up with three possibilities of coach. Juwan Howard, Nate Oates, Luke Yaklich. That's it. That's the list. Pick one. You're done.
That's your list.
That's your list.
Not Michigan's list.
I know, but I'm just telling them that, you know, that's where you should go.
We'll see. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming in. I think you should come in the rest of the summer.
Well, we'll see.
I think you should.
Coaching search goes a month, I'll probably be dead.
I mean, you can have a vacation. I mean, we can all take.
Ed takes lots of vacations.
Just don't take vacations at the same time. We can make this work out.
It's like, I'm going to peace out for several months.
Craig didn't tell me you were coming in, Brian.
No, it's fine. I liked it.
Coming up next is Inside the Huddle with Michael Spath. Hey, was Spath on Monday?
He was out. He had a previous commitment, so he was out Monday.
So he missed the...
He
was not here for the first day, yes.
What was that like? You wake up to that. That's... Sheesh.
Dude,
it was live on the air for us.
We were in segment.
Like a couch got dropped on
and
your
And Ira said in my ear, we have a problem.
I said, break over, we have a problem, is what I said. Break over.
Like, what? What's going on? John Beilein.
I said, look at Twitter. My whole page on Twitter was John Beilein.
All right, we got to get out of here.
Better than us?
Nobody!